Good morning. This is a big weekend in the life of the United Methodist Church. It is the weekend of the vote on the proposed plans on the Way Forward Commission. For those who are not familiar with this, the simple explanation is it's a vote to decide how the United Methodist Church worldwide will proceed in the future with regards to the marriage of same-sex partners and whether LGBTQ persons will be allowed to serve as clergy in the United Methodist Church, or if anything will change at all. If we look at the general climate of the United States in the news and on social media, it seems there is a lot of disagreement on a number of issues, opposing views on the election, the wall, Islam, immigrants, abortion, racism, and now the status of the LGBTQ plus in United Methodist Church has caused turmoil and upset in relationships, and many times have become hostile. Having conversation about anything controversial is difficult, but if managed correctly, can be accomplished. When it comes to difficult conversations, I have noticed four ways people have approached it. There may be more, but these are the four I availably see in my everyday situation. High school. There are the people who go into conversation ready to be proving their side, looking to sway people to see the light and change their opinions. These are the quick thinkers, fast talkers, and generally always ready to win the argument. They are the ones that I usually respond to, "Yeah, I see," and later on said, "I wish I would have thought to say that," or "I should have said." There are people who enter the conversation feeling like they need to defend their side, not necessarily try to sway anybody, but also not willing to change or even see the other side. This conversation usually goes something like, "You're not listening, because if you were, you'd see that I'm right." Usually, they have their reasons, but only willing to talk about their viewpoints. There are people who avoid these conversations altogether, hoping to avoid any chance of discord, and for whom discord hurts them on a soul level. Finally, there are those who choose to have only these conversations with like-minded people who affirm their particular stance. I would guess we all naturally lean towards one of or more of these. And if you don't already know where you lean, I would invite you to notice next time you enter a difficult conversation. This, I'd say, I lean towards a combination of defending and intently listening during conversations, which is not on the list due to one of the four because of the inherent lack thereof today. I have always been more comfortable in an affirming situation, but I will not back out of a situation where I believe I will be heard out. This is why I attend pub theology. I can express ideas and be heard without immediately being shut down, as I have been at other times. High school. You see, the thing with all approaches is I've mentioned that they are inherently I-centered, about how comfortable we are in the situation, about how much we know more than the next, or even for the need for us to feel right. Our scripture today is from Proverbs, which addresses just this kind of idea. It is one of the four books of wisdom literature in the Old Testament. The Scofield Reference Bible describes Proverbs as a collection of moralistic sayings that is divine wisdom applied to earthly conditions of God's people. The wisdom of the spirits. Consider sayings of today like early bird gets the worm. But Proverbs is directed towards living in the way of God. It was most likely used to mold and shape character as well as instruct. In chapter 18, we are given some instruction on how to communicate by first telling us how not to show up. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 1 through 3 says, "An unfriendly person pursues selfish ends, and against all sound judgment starts quarrels. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. When wickedness comes, so does contempt, and with shame comes reproach." This sounds pretty harsh, with words like unfriendly, selfish, fool, wickedness, contempt, and reproach. When I hear this, I imagine the many people who come into conversation already fearing dislike towards the opposition, pissed off. This separation leads to unnecessary conflict. I think of someone who only desires to have their side heard, not caring who understands the whole picture. Can you see that person? Imagine them. The person, already so angry or fearful of the issue being discussed, that they come into conversation with guns blazing. I know if I really think about it, I can think of a time where I entered into a difficult situation with my hackles up. Most of the time for me, it is because there are so many other emotions involved, like hurt and fear, and it would be my assumption that it was that way for most people. The scripture tells us not to go into conversation looking to disagree, debate, and work to make people agree with our opinion. In verse 2, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. The Hebrew word that translates to fool is kessel, which is defined as to be or become stupid. In some instances, it is used to describe a ridiculous person or someone who is a constant talker, not known for listening. Here, it is used to describe a person who neglects or even despises the objective truth, and instead to believe what they want to believe. In other words, their opinion, that which aligns with their inner self-serving feelings and desires. Regardless of which type the definition we use, it is clear in Proverbs 18:1-3 what we are asked not to do. Instead, we are to set aside our own agendas and seek to understand others. What if we were intentional about entering into conversations with, "What are your thoughts on?" or "Please help me understand," or "I would love to hear why you feel that way." And what if we really tried to be open and see things objectively from another angle? Let's face it, none of us have tried to live the same lives, for we have all been informed differently, be it by family patterns handed generation to generation, our own experiences in different situations, our economic or social status, our race or ethnicity, our gender, sexual orientation, or the communities we grew up in. Women will always have different experiences than men. Those raised in poverty will have different experiences than those raised in wealth. LGBTQ+ people will have different experiences than traditionally defined heterosexual men and women. Someone who has experienced a sexual assault will have a different opinion of the Me Too movement than someone who has not, or even someone who has been falsely accused. My point is, there's no way to know what informs someone else without asking. Even if two people are experiencing a similar thing, they may not feel the same way, which is understandable. So many of us go through the walk of life believing that our experiences is what the world is really like. Obviously, it isn't. We lead different lives and have obtained different experiences. This is why it's important to understand what informs another person's thoughts, beliefs, and opinions. I really began to see this in the last several years while working with the Appalachian Service Project, or ASP, a nonprofit whose goal is to restore and help families who cannot afford themselves to help restore the houses that they build. The families have been forever changed here in their lives. This type of destitution is why their viewpoints have been forged in the hardships that they may have faced. This has changed my view, expanded my horizon, to see that my decisions not only affect me, but the world in whole. The only way to truly expand on our understanding of the world in its completeness is to seek to understand as others see it. James 1:19-20 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." I think James is telling us to shut up and listen for once. Not to speak or react to what we hear, just listen. In Proverbs, scripture verse 13 tells us to answer before listening. That is folly and shame. You see, society has developed the habit of listening to answer rather than listening to understand. And that is if people are even listening at all, which doesn't happen all that often. And again, high school. My God. We have all done it. I have found it fascinating to reflect on the conversations I've had when I didn't listen, when I felt like no one ever listens to me. If you have a moment this week, I invite you to reflect on this. Sit in a conversation. Don't speak, just listen. Hear other people's opinions. I did this week when I had time, and I found it enlightening. And you may too. Often, most people don't listen because they are preparing their side of the argument or even more innocently, wanting to contribute to the conversation. They may check out of listening, so they don't forget what they want to add. I also, when emotionally charged, will stop listening altogether and even begin cutting someone off. You see this many times at rallies where protesters are shrieking at the top of their lungs. You know they cannot be possibly listening, and certainly not listening to understand what another person's point of view is. A couple of years ago, a pastor explained, sometimes when people are screaming their hate of something so much, then you cannot hear their love for anything else. Passion and emotion can cause a person to stop listening, and fear can cause them and you to freeze. Fear that what they may hear may be information that contradicts what they had previously thought to be true. Imagine believing one thing for years because that is what you were taught, but then new information comes up to suggest that that truth of yours may not be so true, or at least so concrete. That can be scary and even give you a feeling of wrongness. Yet you choose not to listen. It can damage relationships, even shatter them. When people stop listening to one another, the connection is severed and love erodes. Connection and love is also compromised when differences become a right versus wrong argument. Proverbs 12-15 says, before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. The human spirit can endure in sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? The heart of the disconcerting acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. Sometimes when people are faced with conflicting sides, they will cling so hard to being right that they do not listen, and in some cases even need to prove that the other person is wrong. Verse 12 tells us not to be prideful, but enter with humility. When being right is taken to the extreme, some people even need the opposition to admit that they are wrong. I can honestly say I'm guilty of this all the time. I know there have been times when I have sat and thought how very wrong someone is, wondering how they possibly could reach that conclusion. In these moments, it is really difficult to listen. It takes intention to listen with respect and then present your thoughts with equal respect while giving up the need to be right. While writing this, I even bragged to Bob how about I don't pick fights that I will not be able to win unless cornered. I am a terrible example of what we should be doing. I am not suggesting that in these times anyone has to change their beliefs, but when two people come into conversation and both need to be right, then an argument is inevitable. If one person no longer needs to prove their rightness, then the argument ceases. I read about a blog the other day that basically said, when we give up the need to be right, we come to a realization that being right is not a win. Not really, because when one person needs to be right, the other person needs to be wrong. How far are we willing to go to be right? If we are wounding someone so that we win, are we showing compassion? Are we changing anything by tearing others down? Can we speak in opposition to something we feel is unjust without hurting others? I wonder how often we get caught up in this battle of opinions that someone else's wrongness and our rightness becomes the most important things about the conversation. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14, it tells us that crushing the human spirit does more damage than any sickness could. I believe that. Crushing someone's spirit is a lingering symptom, like a cough that never goes away, except it is deep down. When we begin to feel defensive, fearful, or angry in any conversation, it is time to stop and notice how we are showing up. Are we letting our opinions be more important than the feeling of others? Look at the body language of those around the table. How may they be feeling at the moment? We are called by Christ to live in humility and compassion. We have been commissioned to connection, and to do so means to have a conversation that reflects love and grace, and not just those who agree with our side. You see, Jesus' default setting was to see the belovedness in all people, not defects in their judgment, not their flaws, not anything. He saw their inner turmoil and responded not with contempt, but with compassion. He modeled for us in a way to connect to one another and to God. He listened to the hearts of others, and that's what builds love and connection. In the book, A Bigger Table, by John Pavlots, It says in chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus says to those wishing to reflect the character of God must be makers of peace. At the center of this was the idea of creating shalom for others, enabling to them to have access to wholeness, sustenance, justice, and joys as anyone else. And invariably, this making of peace will need to be extended to those whose religious beliefs, politics, and behavior don't seem compatible with ours. We will be required to reach beyond our preferences and comfort. Jesus always calls upon us to stretch further than we are comfortable. This is the kind of connection Jesus calls us to. This is the kind of connection Jesus showed us. Byrne Brown describes the connection as an energy created between people when they feel seen, heard, valued, and when they can give and receive without judgment. I challenge us to look beyond our own opinions, to actually listen to others' opinions, and follow our Lord Christ in his example, because in God's grace, it is greater than all of our sin, our shame, our discouragement, pride, or fear. Let God's grace be our guide. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here together and letting us be here to worship you, for teaching us how to listen, how to pray, and how to be together in your Son's name. Let us go about our week reflecting on what we have learned here and what we have learned in your name. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
With a message that fills our minds with thought and our hearts with hope, let us join in prayer together. Dear Lord, please grant us the patience and kindness to be in conversation with others. May we be kind to new thoughts and patient to new paths. When we struggle in times of conflict, either internally or with others, Lord, help us to see your love. Among these times where we do not see the path, may we be reminded that your word truly is a lamp onto our feet and a light onto our path. We pray this in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift up our unspoken prayer now in this time of silence. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which thou art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our trespasses, and we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is thy kingdom, and the power and the glory ever.